Your host, I am. Your co-host, he is. Referred to often as Jack and Christian on the Friday show for the Football Sack. This is the podcast. Welcome back once again to fans of the show. Listeners, I'm a bit distracted because Christian is drawing pictures of cows and a giraffe.
Correct.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure that that's exactly what was going on over there. Good to see you prepared well.
Yeah, well, I mean, everyone needs their notes, don't they?
That's right. So you'll be referring to those throughout the show. Good luck with that. We're going to get many bovine references throughout the show because that's all you've got to go off.
Is a giraffe a bovine?
Well, no, I was just talking about the cow.
Oh, okay. Well, what would a giraffe be called?
I don't know. Okay. No, I managed to wing bovine, but thanks for pointing out that I managed to just flick that one to everyone. It's good to be back. It's Friday.
Mm-hmm. It is Friday.
We have very little A-League action during the week, but thankfully we have a bit of transfer news to talk about. Mm-hmm. We have Under-20 World Cup to talk about. We have Socceroos qualification draw to talk about. We should be fine to get through the show.
Well, we'd like to think so. I mean, we've done shows on this, haven't we?
Yes, we have. Yeah, we really, really have. Last week springs to mind. The week before that springs to mind. let's start by talking about Harry Kewell.
Mm-hmm.
The man who wasn't fit enough to be included in the Socceroos squad for their upcoming friendly with Wales, but is being heavily linked to join the A-League. And we were joking, he's the new Charlie Miller.
Yes, he's one of those
the skillful,
fat old
rotund
people.
Man who was quite good in his peak. Melbourne Victory making some serious noises that sound like they're going to sign him.
Yes. Well, are you saying they're in, is it the heavy discussions?
Or? Yeah, advanced stages of discussions with his management, mm-hmm. And didn't want to say much else.
No.
Which is usually the sign that the wheels are in motion.
That's right. So, the talk on the whole Twitter and Facebook, because you get those leaks kind of coming out, is that they've actually signed him. They're just going to the final advanced stages. And it's looking very promising.
Yes.
Of course, we all know examples of transfers which have gotten to this stage and fallen through.
That's right.
So we won't count our chickens till they hatch.
That's right. I'll wait until I see him holding up the jersey at the press conference before
I start talking
it through. If it does go through, fantastic signing for the league.
It's great for the league and good work by Melbourne. You know, they were kind of held hostage. They had the ultimatum that it has to be by a certain date, and people said, "Oh, is that the right thing to do?" And it's worked out well for them.
Mm.
As it seems.
Yeah, and Harry's A-League demands will once again go up on Twitter, which is great, because I had a lot of fun. And most of them will probably be food-based now.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
You know,
I did see an article just before I came here. It was quite funny. It's a whole article of his demands saying, I mean, he's like, he's not asking much. All he's asking for is, a whole stadium to private stadium just to train in.
That's right.
And he's feeling he's feeling the peak of his form. You know, he has for the first time in his career gone 7 days without an injury. So
that's
going well.
That's right. He feels like he's 18 again. Where what I don't get, we'll talk Socceroos later on. But since we're talking Harry, Olga, his first sign of inconsistency has come out with that squad that he picked for the Wales game because he's picked Harry Kewell and said he's not fit. And yet he's picked Scott McDonald.
Well, I mean, you think
if you're
going to
pick a fatty, you're going to pick both fatties.
You might as well pick a fatty who can play, too.
That's right.
Now, what is your opinion on Scott Donald? Because Scott McDonald.
Scott Donald.
Because it would be about a year ago we last discussed him in depth.
Yes.
And you were of the opinion that he has
now
the talent.
Now we're going to discuss him in width.
I'll see what you did there. That was clever. You're of the opinion that he had the potential, he just hadn't gone to a club where he could shine or prove himself.
I was of the opinion that he is a goal poacher, and who, given proper service, knows where the goal is and will score. However, I have since reassess the situation, and I just think that he's gonna be making, I think it's his 28th appearance for the Socceroos in Wales, and he's yet to score. And I know he's played a lot of times out of position and a lot of times off the bench, but I reckon if he gave me 28 Socceroos jerseys, I might nick a goal. But then again, he's playing against Wales and Thailand coming up. So yes. He could have 10 goals on the board by his 29th cap. So
actually, you could do the whole Archie Thompson game in a matter of games, be like second highest in their soccer is goal right. scoring. Yeah. Too, so it's one of those games. It's one of those weird ones. I mean, he showed himself to be a goal scorer at Celtic. But it is a substandard league.
Well, he was doing it in the Champions League. Let's not forget, scored against Manchester United and AC Milan. Mm-hmm. So you know,
then again, you know, Joe scored against Inter. So
yeah, that's a good point. Mm.
Yeah. I got to stop bashing on Joe. It's getting old, isn't it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Gareth Bale scored a hat trick against Inter. I don't think anyone's surprised when anyone scores against Inter. But yeah, Milan, I was surprised. But and they were just goal poachers' goals. Actually, he's won against Man United. If memory serves, was a cracker. In the Champions League. I think he took it inside Rio Ferdinand, lobbed the keeper.
Yes, he did.
So he does know where the goal is. But hey, look, let's wait and see. Maybe he'll have a huge season for Middlesbrough in the Championship, which gets underway this weekend, and we shall see.
Yeah, I just think, he might have scored a goal against Manchester United, but one goal doesn't make a career, so to speak. And
It does if you're Gareth Bale. It does
if you're Gareth Bale.
Makes you player of the year, apparently.
I still can't believe he got player of the year, and how many assists did he have all season?
It was like two
assists, and not many more goals. No. It was crazy.
Everyone was just caught up in how fast he was, because apparently being a sprinter makes you think that if a Asafa Powell ever takes up football, he may be the best player ever, even if he never gets a touch, because God, he's quick.
Yeah. Wasn't there like some sort of joking rumour going around that he was actually going to sign for a club?
He genuinely wants to take up football after he finishes sprinting.
Yeah,
he fancies himself as a footballer, which is great.
That's great.
Good cricketer too, apparently.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Oh, apparently he's great at lawn bowls too.
Yeah, see, you've just made that up, whereas I know for a fact that he was a good cricketer.
Yeah, but you're like rattling off all these sports he's great at. I didn't want to feel left out. I mean, sure.
Just get back to, what are you drawing now, a dog? And you've drawn a speech bubble saying moo next to the cow. And you wonder, and I'm off here researching, and you think I'm fluking these facts. That's not a bad little dog. He looks a bit sad, though.
He is a bit sad, but I mean, okay, am I supposed to make him happy? It just wouldn't look right.
It's just amazing that we can do this show whilst you're doodling away. Oh, dear. We are just devaluing the program by the second. Kiel to victory. We're for it. We hope it goes through.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main transfer news. You know, it'll just kick the A-League back into the media spotlight. Because, he didn't even sign for anyone last time. The A-League was in the headlines for a month. So,
imagine what'll happen when he signs.
That's right, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Imagine what happens when he actually gets some game time, too.
Yeah, that's right. Look, I think he'd be great.
Yeah, I think so.
I really do think he's a player. You know, we see so many marquee players come back, and they're good footballers, but they're not setting the world alight. Mm-hmm. You know, Milos Sijovski, really not being a marquee player. John Aloisi scored a few goals at the Mariners and had a decent season for Sydney when they won the league, but... again, nothing special. I genuinely think Harry could be one of those players where people go and they go, geez, good.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, a lot of people are giving us shit, giving him some bagging, saying, oh, he's past it and stuff. But I'm thinking, do these people actually watch the Asian Cup?
Yeah,
he was great. And Matt McKay were two of the best players of the tournament.
Yeah.
He was just absolutely pure class. Yes, he doesn't run around people anymore, but he's smart. He's a smart footballer.
And the time exactly is just doing. So right yes. for him right yes. now. The other transfer news is that Perth Glory have added to their list with a Brazilian, Adrezinho.
Adrezinho.
Yes. André Luis Rodriguez Lopez.
It's one of those names.
Which is easier to say than Adrezinho.
That's right.
Yeah.
His longer version is easier to say than his short name, so that'll be a bit strange.
Yeah. He's a Brazilian under 20 international, and as you pointed out, has a Brazilian ever been signed by any football club ever that haven't put in the press release that he was a Brazilian junior international?
That's right. <Yeah. laughs> It's weird. These Brazilian junior sides, they must take squads of about 70 players every tournament.
They've announced their preliminary squad for the under-17 World Cup, and they'll be cutting it down to just 300 shortly.
It's like they must go. They go to the trials for under-20s. They have a look at the hundreds of kids, and they say yes,
yes. Congratulations, everyone. See you next week. Yes, we will now be reading out who got in. You.
Yes.
We wait and see what he comes with to the league. And
yes.
Neil Sherwin, one of our writers and a resident Perth Glory fan, mm-hmm. Tweeted that he did a bit of research and could not find anything about him. Although he does come with glowing praise from Chris Coyne.
Of course. And, yeah. You know, who's more knowledgeable than the Sea Bomber?
We were really laughing at this because the official press release came out. There wasn't a quote from, like, a scout who had seen him play or the coach, you know, manager, even the CEO didn't even get involved. They went just for one of the teammates. What do you think of the new bloke?
Yeah,
and he said, yeah, he's good. He's got some skills and, you know, he ran rings around Chris Coyne, which is great. And we were saying that if that qualifies you as a good player, then the tea lady will also be getting a contract with Perth Glory soon. So.
Yeah. It's, Brazilians, they're quite strange, you know, because you really... Yeah, unless you go and watch them in person in Brazil, you can't research them here. It's, you don't know what they're like. I mean, you can have absolute flops like Ricardinho, but you can have great players like Fred, and you can have players who, if they got past injury, they'd be okay, like Alex Terra.
Mm.
It's really strange. You literally do. It's a giant gamble to sign a Brazilian. And yeah, the whole culture change too thing is a very major
part. You need to make them settle. Yeah. And in fact, that was part of the reason that Fred was so good. I think he really enjoyed the culture of Melbourne a lot. And he was able to enjoy his football.
Well, that's right. I mean, it's like any sort of those South American players. They need to be able to fit in with the culture, enjoy themselves. And I mean, Hernandez is so good because Hernandez is just around the corner.
He was loving it. Did you hear about his MLS trial?
I didn't hear about his
MLS trial. He went to the MLS to try for, I think it was Real Salt Lake.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong, listeners. When he turned up, they could not believe how fit unfit he was.
Yeah.
They were just like, if you're going to come for a trial, go for a jog beforehand. Try and get yourself in some sort of physical condition that we might want to sign you.
He came with, like, you know, it was a White Castle serviette still hanging in his pocket. That's or right. something.
Yeah, so. Yeah, he was still licking his fingers.
See, the thing is...
Expect him to be playing for the Victory and not in the MLS come the season.
I do enjoy watching him. Not so much for his skills, but just to think that someone who looks like that can make it in professional
That's
football.
That's right. I think that fat footballers generally are very popular because everyone in the stands thinks... Maybe I should dust off the boots, you know? I could do that. Yeah.
I still remember, we talked about Charlie Miller before. I'm in love with that man. He can have my babies. I can just remember, like...
I thought I was a fan of him, but not to that extent, but yeah.
He was just, you watch him, and he's got two speeds. It's waddle and stop.
Yeah.
But he does things, because he knows he can't run, and he just does things just to make people laugh, all right? He had a stationary ball, and he was doing step-overs over a stationary ball to try to get past this player. And, like, it was one of the... Like, this is back, yo.
I've seen some old footage of, I think it was Garrincha from Brazil, like 1950, doing the step over of the stationary ball, where he just throws his whole body one way as if he's going to take off, but leaves the ball behind him. The defender goes, and he stops.
Yep.
But I can't picture Charlie Miller doing that.
Charlie Miller just stood there in front of it, and one just, leg just up,
dangled one leg over it, and then got his balance again, and then dangled the other leg.
With this great big stupid grin on his face. And then he went to take off, and the guy put a leg in front of him and got the ball. And he just did the biggest swan dive, like, with the arms out and everything. And went, ref, and the ref just shook his head, laughed, and just ran away.
The A-League needs more Charlie Millers.
They do. Yeah. I mean, like, because this was, you know, we're in the Raw, they finished third, they had a really good season. They're getting, you know, crowds, you know, 16,000. And
That was the season he scored that great volley.
Yes, from Michael Zulu's cross. Yeah. That was before the football stack was started. And just as Michael Zulu crosses the ball, you can see me in the background, me and my friend Colin, where it just right there next to him on the TV screen, if you pause it.
Yeah.
And it's just funny because there's no one else in the shot at all. It's just us two and just empty seats.
Really?
It's one of my favourite A-League goals. I feel I was a big part of it. You know?
Yeah, you'd so want to get the DVD, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But it's really hilarious. Charlie Miller, like, I've never seen a player in the A-League just... He does something, and just 12,000 people are just laughing, like a stadium laughing.
Mitch Nichols, crazy. That happens a lot.
Yeah, but they're laughing at him, yes. Not with him.
That's right, yes.
He's attempted, he goes to jump over the barrier, and he goes, actually, I won't, and decides to run around to give this guy the biggest fail of a high five I've ever seen.
That is one of my all-time favourite goal celebrations. He didn't back himself to clear the barrier, so ran 30 metres around it, then up to the crowd, and gave a high five, and that was about it.
But it was like one of those, like, high fives where the thumb hits the pinky.
Yes,
it was
so right,
crap. It was like...
Almost an air swing.
That's right. It was like, at least, you know, with Flores, if he stuffs up good, you know, with the whole red wig, he did the dance, and he just tries to throw it over the barrier. Didn't quite make it.
Yeah, he took that guy's hat, the wig,
yes,
did a dance, tried to give it back to the guy, couldn't, and the guy couldn't reach it, and he couldn't then jump the fence to get it because he'd get a big fine, yes, so he lost his hat.
He lost his hat, and Flores was like, he was trying to...
He's hesitating
as whether to, he should go and get it or not.
And to go kick off.
Yeah, that's right.
Like, traveled all the way from Adelaide to North Queensland and lost his hat. Oh, he did not have a good trip. He a good goal.
He was the one Adelaide fan when Flores got sold. He went, thank God for that.
Yes, that's yes, right. So
thank
yeah,
thank God for hat.
Ooh. Thank God. Oh, that's terrible. It's terrible. Really, your punishment is to draw another picture of Charlie Miller. let's quickly discuss the Socceroos World Cup qualifying group was announced mm-hmm, during the week. Our first match will be in Brisbane. We're playing against Thailand.
Yes, okay, it shouldn't be too much.
No, I think we should walk that one in.
That's right. Yeah, Suncorp Stadium, what I'm more interested about, rather than the scoreline, is how many people turn up.
Yes, well, we could have a it could be a boost for the Socceroos attendance and the Roar attendance, because we've got an email from the FFA saying that there'll be packages available, $90 for an adult, mm-hmm, $65 for a concession. Mm-hmm. What were kids, about 40-odd something?
Yeah, something about
where you get... admission to the Socceroos game and three Brisbane Roar games.
That's great, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, let's say that's what's that? $90 for four games. Mm. You can't really beat it, really. No, especially when it's Socceroos and the current champions.
That's right. Yeah, you get to see the current champions three times, mm, and the national team. You're paying at the most $22.
That's right.
A game.
So if you're in Brisbane, I recommend not buying that, actually just buying a Raw season ticket. But if you're not going
to
do that...
Buy that Socceroos one as... buy it to get your ticket to the Socceroos game, mm-hmm, but then give a friend the three tickets. Brisbane Raw tickets, yeah, and yes, take them with you to, mm-hmm, the game.
So one thing I do love about, you know, taking friends to the A-League, they will moan and they will scream and they will carry on if you want them to go to a game, and that you literally have to drag them.
What sort of
there.
Friends do you have?
They're actually mules.
But I find once you've got those wrists bound tight enough and the tape over the mouth and in the boot, it's smooth sailing
from there. Smooth sailing from there. I got pulled over once. That was awkward. What's yeah, banging your boot? My dog?
Why is your excuse your dog? Because they're going to give you a weird look for putting your dog in the boot anyway.
I'm a strange man.
This is disastrous.
Yeah. Anyway, but once you get your friends there, they always come back. I've never had someone I've taken who's never come back.
Yeah. So. That picture's coming along nicely. He's a very rotund little character, a jolly little fellow. Charlie Miller. He needs a goatee though. That's the only thing he's missing.
Excellent. I came in with the moustache instead of a goatee. I missed it. Always the utmost.
This is terrible radio.
See, it would be all right radio, but we've demolished the third wall by you saying what's actually happening in the studio here.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. They think we're professionals, but now they know we're not.
Yeah, that's right. And I love using theatre terms in radio shows. Yeah. 'Cause we definitely have a third wall.
Yeah. Let's go back to the Socceroos. We're kick-offing against Thailand, which is great because, you know, you have your home game first up, get off to a good start, hopefully, mm-hmm, touch wood, which we've just done. And then I think, who else we got in the group?
Oman and Saudi Arabia.
That's right. And, you know, that Oman, tricky, Saudi's tricky, but we should go through.
We should go through. Look, Saudi's used to be a force in Asia. They really are not.
Yeah, we back ourselves to. You back yourself to get 4 points over two games, mm-hmm, against the Saudis.
Yes.
You know, you'd back yourself to get six against Oman, but the Asian Cup of 2007 showed that they can't be taken for granted.
They're not a terrible, terrible side, mm-hmm, and they can, you know, spring an upset. So we have to be careful, and we're not going to go in there, you know,
the group,
too cocky.
The group that I can't wait to watch is Japan, North Korea, Syria, and there's one more in there. There's three big teams in there, mm-hmm, to watch out for. So that there's some good groups, and I can't wait for it to get underway. It's not far off. We have our friendly in Wales. Is it in 2 weeks' time?
It would be about that. Yeah. Yes. So yeah, no, it's going to be. We should get quite. We would think you get comfortably into the second stage of qualifying, yep, and from there, one would hope that we can go to the next stage. We only have to finish top two.
Yes, that's right. That
and
that
takes us to the next stage, and then that stage you have to finish the same as we just did recently. Top two automatically qualify for the World Cup, and the third place goes
is the playoff. Yeah,
yes. Who, if we get down to that stage, will be against the South American side.
Oh, yes, which was what we used to do, yes.
Yes.
So let's hope that we don't end up there. Let's talk under 20 World Cup in Colombia. The Socceroos, young Socceroos, have got their work cut out for them.
They very much do.
They need a win over Spain to stand any chance, pretty much, of going through.
Nothing special.
Spain, who have been quite impressive so far in this tournament. Spain, are they ever going to stop winning?
Well, it's
like, when this current super-duper team that they have, world champions, European champions, moves on, they'll just bring in the under-20 European champions, and they're on their way to being the under-20 world champions as well. Mm-hmm. You know, they've just built one hell of a production line.
They really do, and like, because they're world or European champions in every single age division.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. They are the new Brazil. They've gone past Brazil as how to do football.
Yes.
And I can't ever see an end to them. I just think that Spain for the next 50 years will be the team to beat at every international tournament.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's actually fairly closely following the progression of what happened in futsal. Brazil was the number one team in futsal, just individual flair. Spain came in, they did a very more pragmatized approach. They actually started playing futsal on the counter-attack, very structured defense, quick, pacey attack. And they are now the number one team in futsal. And Brazil had to. They couldn't understand why they were losing. So they actually sent Brazilian scouts and coaches to Spain to work out why they were beating Brazil. And they came back and they changed the Brazilian formation. So now Brazil play like Spain. Now it's very even. But all saying that, you know.
Can we get in on that at all? Can we get access to that scouting and those reports and play that way?
It's all basically available knowledge now because of the internet and all that sort of thing, but it's having the coach to do that. And see, we can't afford to pay full-time futsal coaches, so that's not going to happen in Australia ever. I mean, we can't even qualify for the World Cup. We couldn't qualify for the Futsal World Cup when we're in Oceania, let alone Asia.
Yes,
we are one of the poorest futsal sides there is, which is the unfortunate truth.
And we don't have to be. You know, we have the stock to have some pretty good futsal players around the country. There's just nothing. There's no money thrown at futsal.
No, not at all.
Which is a shame because you know, there's the evidence that it's a very, very solid starting point for building a superpower of a football nation. It is. Anyway, I don't know how we got to talking about how good Spain and Brazil are, but let's back talk. Rewind that. Let's get back to talking about the young Socceroos. Tommy Orr, what a goal that was.
It was great, wasn't it?
In the first match against Ecuador. Scorching drive. I was at work. I was following it on the computer just on the FIFA site doing the minute-by-minute updates. It sounded like we copped an absolute pasting, which, you know, I was sitting there thinking, great, you know, we've got this Verslaehen bloke who had us. We had a shocker of a tournament at the under-17s under his management, and it looks like more of the same. Don't change it up or anything, mate. Just keep going with what's not working. And then we played Costa Rica the other day. The performance was fantastic, apart from the back. The back four was really, really bad, as usual. With all our youth teams, our women's teams, it's a big problem because we dominated the midfield against Costa Rica. We dominated the front third against Costa Rica. You know, boys need to learn that when you shoot at altitude, you need to aim lower because we kept putting balls into the second tier when if we shot on target, you know, could have scored 4 or 5.
I mean, or even just pass to the back post and someone will tap it in.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, the boys did like the whole line it up at the near post and hit it as hard as he could. Yes. But, you know, twice we fell behind to soft goals, clawed our way back into it, and then would just give them another soft goal, which it's becoming a seriously, seriously worrying pattern.
In saying that, we say a soft goal, but it was very, you know, the Costa Ricans knew what they were doing. They were just soaking up the pressure and then drawing our whole team into their own half and breaking on the counter. Well,
yeah, but I mean, from what I saw, I think that those three goals could have been, I mean, the first goal, the ball's given away in the midfield, player slips on the ball, and then you're back for scrambling to try and make up the ground. The bloke almost trips over the ball himself, but somehow still has the time to get his composure back, switch it onto his other foot, get a shot away, which really you shouldn't. So there's your first goal. The second goal Costa Rica scored, cross comes in from the right-hand side. You got three defenders, one attacker, and yet somehow he gets his foot to the ball, not head, foot to the ball, with no one else around him because you got three blokes watching where the ball's coming from instead of someone turning around watching if there's any attackers coming. And you get a third goal where they look certain to score, They have a shot. A defender throws himself in front of the ball. Heroic block. He may as well be credited to a goal on the scoreboard because he's got one for his team there, basically. Goes out for a corner. And as he's picking himself up and everyone's patting him on the back, they take the corner and the bloke heads in unmarked from 3 yards out. You know, that's, it's, you know, yes, they did the soaking up, whatever. But we kill them for corners, for possession, for shots. And then don't mark men at corners. It's ridiculous.
It is. It's the concentration levels. I guess that's a bit of an earmark of younger players. But it's weird. You look at the performances of the under-17s, the performances of the young Socceroos, and you can't say we're technically brilliant.
No.
You can't say, you know, we're tactically amazing. And, you know, it's weird because we have a system in place, yet it doesn't seem to be reaping the rewards. And I'm very much about, I don't care if we lose every match of the young Socceroos as long as their performance is great. But
that's
it's
right.
Neither.
Yeah, we're losing and we're still tearing our hair out.
It's all about development, and I'm not sure if the development is there.
Yeah.
We've got some good players in the side, but I don't think it's because of the structure. You know, we've got the Aminis, the Abinis, the Kanarowskis, but I think that's because of what they've done at club level.
That's right, yeah.
Not because
they're just good players.
Yeah,
that's right. We both agreed that Veslajhan will be looking for a job very soon.
Oh, I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so, because he's not doing much.
He's not done anything to that's warrant right. someone throwing a new contract at him.
Yeah, and you know, just on the side, don't be telling anyone.
as he leans closer to the microphone.
Oh, he's the word in the street is through other coaches who have been associated with him. He's a bit of an arrogant twat.
Oh, really?
So,
is that the official line?
It is. Yeah, that's the official line. It's one of those ones where, like, you know, the common thing is the higher you go in the coaching hierarchy, the more modest coaches actually become.
Yes.
And, yeah, I think it shows what sort of coaching level he's at, if his attitude is that way.
Yeah, inclined. Yeah, because the most arrogant coaches you find are usually the under-8 soccer coach on a Saturday morning.
Yes,
but, you know, he strikes me as arrogant because he plays exactly the same way in every single game, and we continue to lose, but we go out the next game, and he puts out the same team to play the same system and lose the same way, but...
You know. Yeah, it's weird, and, you know, because a coach has to be either about development or about winning. And I'm not sure which one he's going for, but like I said, he's achieved none of that. And you can't be doing much of both if you're keeping Bernie Abini and Mustafa Mini on the bench until the 65th minute. You know?
Yeah, see, and I'll tell you what, Mustafa came on and ran the show
yes.
for the last 20 minutes of that game.
Mm.
I was watching with my girlfriend and she was just saying, gee, that guy's good. And you know, she's saying, he played in that grand final we were at. And I'm saying, yes, he did. And she's saying, why isn't he, if he's good enough to play in the grand final in front of all those people, why is he coming off the bench for this team when they're losing? And I was saying, you're asking all the right questions
yes,
here.
That is right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, some people could say, oh, yeah, it's only the A-League. I'll tell you what, the current champions of the A-League are going
they
to be
play
better,
some pretty good
some
stuff.
Pretty good football, yeah. Yeah. It was, and he did. He reasonably controlled the grand final quite well. And you know, he had a lot, he played really well during the season. It does go to show, if this guy can run the A-League, why can't he play a role in the under-23?
A youth team, yes. Mysteries of the cosmos. We haven't had my prediction yet for the day.
We haven't had your prediction.
Yeah.
Should we run through the prediction for any new listeners?
Yes, we should. And they are so far. I can't even remember what the first one is. What's the first one?
David Williams.
David Williams, that's right. David Williams will play for the Socceroos this calendar year, mm-hmm. as between now and this time next year. The Newcastle Jets will finish in the top three mm-hmm. of the regular season.
And that's all we're at so far.
Yes, and this week, see, I'm tempted to go somewhere with the Amini thing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm liking Mustafa Amini at the
mm-hmm.
moment.
Mm-hmm. Something to do with maybe the amount of assists or player of the year points or...
Well, he's just so young. You just don't... Young players can just go out of form so quickly, so mm-hmm. that's the only reason. Mm-hmm. I don't know. The show won't end until I've made my prediction. I'm going to make a note here. I'm going to say prediction just down there. Christian's going to draw a picture of a carrot or something. God knows what he's up to over there. And that'll happen before the end of the show.
Okay, cool. Because, of course, with the predictions, we're going to do, I think there's 12. So he's made two. He's doing one for every week up until the start of the A-League season. And all you viewer and listeners get to send in either reward ideas or punishment ideas for every challenge that goes right or wrong.
Yeah.
So you'll have 12 combinations of rewards and punishments because you'll have 12 predictions. And what we're going to do is you're going to send in your punishments, rewards. We're going to pick the best ones. And we're going to name them after the person who predicted it. So say David Carrigan chooses a reward of, you know, he has to, you know, belly flop into a pool of custard or something. A waiting pool of custard for getting the David Williams one wrong. We'll call that the David Carrigan's punishment.
Yes.
Which he will have to complete.
That's right. Of course, it will get filmed and put on the site.
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, let's hope that no one writes in belly flop into a waiting pool of custard. Because that would hurt. Because I can't imagine the football side forking out for enough custard to give me enough of a buffer between the top layer of custard and the ground. And if I'm belly flopping, that could hurt. So, yeah, and you can contact us at the Football Sack on Twitter or info@thefootballsack.com or on the Facebook group.
Yes, which is www.facebook.com/thefootballsack.
That's right. So, for anything related to the site, for anything related to the show, that's how you can find us.
Very nice.
And get a shout out on the show. As these people have got.
Oh, exciting times.
Yes, for contacting the show. We asked, what's your favourite football memory?
Mm-hmm.
And we got a couple of good responses. We got a few good responses.
We do.
We got one from Tommy Goss, who wrote in and said...
you may remember Tommy Goss as he was the cleaner who was sitting in our studio one time. That's right. And he shouted out answers to questions he didn't know.
That's right, yeah. He was our go-to guy. When we were just tangenting about stuff that we didn't know. He wrote, I've been a keeper my entire football career. Nothing wrong with that. It's a valid position on the football field. But there's more. My awesome mother attended every game. My coach would give me the off chance to play fullback when the team was doing well. The day I push up for a corner and the only goal I ever scored in my entire career went unseen by my parents. They were looking the other way at the time.
So,
that's sad.
It is a little
bit sad.
I feel
for him. They saw every other minute of every other game that he played.
And I mean,
he's one touch that ended up in the back of the net.
Yeah, and like, that's commitment by the parents. It's not like they're going to watch a centre midfield. You're watching a goalkeeper play. You might as well just watch grass grow, let's be honest here.
Yeah.
And so they put up with all this torture, all this, just sitting there watching their son stand around.
Yeah.
He finally scores a goal.
They were looking the other way.
They were getting wedges and cream. It's
yeah, I feel for him.
That's
but that was good. Right. That made me laugh.
Yes, right, yes.
Our other one was came from Aaron Eccleston.
Now, people may know Aaron Eccleston.
Yes. If you've heard the name Aaron Eccleston before, it's because he wrote in saying that his funniest football memory has got to be getting sent off for having a piercing in my pants.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's true.
It is. He in June, he got worldwide fame for being a player who got sent off for having a piercing in his nether region.
That's right. Now, he... can I just say... Now, this is a brief tangent before we get on to Aaron Eccleston, but it ties in, as you'll see.
Yes.
The official football for the London 2012 Games football competition has been named but unveiled, and it's going to be called the Albert, because it's rhyming slang for the Albert Hall in London, Hall Ball, okay? The jokes then will also be, it's the Prince Albert, which is a piercing of a certain part of... the male anatomy, which, I don't want to get too intimate, but Aaron apparently has one of these.
Yes.
He went worldwide, as you said, in a Victorian state game. I think he was playing for Old Hill Wanderers against Swinburne University Reserves.
Swinburne.
That's right. He took a free kick. They took a free kick and he was in the wall. Got him in a sensitive area.
Mm-hmm.
Someone yelled out, "How's the piercing?" which alerted the referee, because, of course, you can't have...
Anybody piercing
to be on the field.
Yeah, so he just had a quick sneaky look to see if he's still intact, and the referee had a quick sneaky look as well, and saw it and said it had to be removed, and so Aaron went to the off the field, and the ref came back. He's like, "Oh, have you removed it?" And of course, Aaron he wasn't going to show him to prove it, so he got a yellow card. He got a yellow card, I think, just before that for re-entering the field.
Yeah, he just walked on the field.
So he got a yellow card for re-entering the field without the referee's permission. He got a second,
because for not showing the referee his penis.
He got a yellow card, sent off, which was, incredible.
Mm.
And like I said, he got written up in The Guardian, in the UK and all over the world. And so
we're going to have an interview with him.
We're going to have an interview with him very shortly. Because I think there's got to be some sort of reference towards the whole football sack.
Yeah, that's right. It's too good a length to not go chasing
the
football sack and a guy who got famous for being hit in the sack by a football and the subsequent... What followed
carrying
on?
Carrying on, yeah. So, It's kind of funny. I heard someone say in the other day that in the end he got sent off for having dangerous tackle.
Yeah, that is brilliant, isn't it? Yeah. All right, that's good. We can't top that joke. Let's finish the show now.
Bye.
Well, yeah, bye.
Dun, 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 dun.
You know, I could just play the music. I don't need you to do it. Okay, so yeah, keep an eye out for interview with Aaron Eccleston to be up shortly on the Football Sack, once we do it, of course.
Yes.
We need to go, so mm-hmm. I need to make a prediction.
Okay.
I don't have a lot to go off. I'm going to predict... Oh, it's tough. I'm going to back Mustafa Amini to... There's an A-League Team of the Year, isn't there?
There is.
I'm going to back him to be in it.
Okay, sweet. Mustafa Amini, Team of the Year. Very nice. Folks, we're writing this down. Send in your predictions. Send in your awards and your penalties.
Yep.
And Jack will do them. In the meantime, check out the Football Sack for your State League and A-League news. And don't forget to download the Sunday podcast as well, because they go all right. So.
It's not a bad show, the old Sunday show. It's not a good show, but it's not a bad show.
He's hoping Matt isn't listening.
Yeah, well, it's well known that those guys don't listen to this show.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Who would? I don't think anyone listens to this show. I wouldn't. It's all about creative arts. Charlie
arts
Miller.
And singing, so.
Yes, that's right. We'll be back next Friday, unless you've taken a job somewhere else in the world, which may happen.
Maybe.
Keep us posted. We will see you then. Tune in on Sunday and enjoy the football. Young Socceroos are in action again, I think, tomorrow, aren't they, against Spain?
That'll do.
Yeah, they'll do. See you later, guys.